భావ నాచురల్ మోడ్స్ స్వభావ ఓన్ కాన్స్టిట్యూషన్ విహితస్య పర్ఫార్మెన్సెస్ సతః ఆల్ గుడ్ వర్క్ ప్రసిద్ధి అల్టిమేట్ సక్సెస్ దేహే ఆఫ్ ద బాడీ స్వధాతు ఫార్మింగ్ ఎలిమెంట్స్ విగమే బీయింగ్ వాంక్విష్డ్ అను ఆఫ్టర్ విశీర్యమాణే హ్యావింగ్ గివెన్ అప్ వ్యోమ స్కై ఇవ లైక్ తత్ర దారపాన్ పురుషః ద లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీ నా నెవర్ విశీర్యతే becomes vanquished. Ajaha, due to being unborn. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki, the personality of Godhead is a supreme master of everything auspicious, because the results of whatever actions are performed by the living being in either the material or spiritual existence are awarded by the Lord. As such, He is the ultimate benefactor. Every individual living entity is unborn, and therefore, even after the annihilation of the material elementary body, the living entity exists exactly like the air within the body. The purport is a very long purport. So, after the prayer, we will discuss the purport in elements. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuh Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురోః శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురోన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణ లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమ ఓం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణపృష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇతి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషశూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణే నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్విషే నమః హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానోసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంచాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసది గౌరభక్తవృంద hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama 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 hare 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 krishna we are reading from this chapter scheduled incarnations This first purport is a long purport. We will try to cover whatever we can today. Yeah? This is a style that His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj adopts in explaining any purport of Prabhupada whenever he speaks a Bhagavatam class. You will see him always. He will take a few lines from the purport, then elaborate, then go to the further purport and then elaborate more. So that will make sure that we don't speak off the purport, something else. So whenever we speak Bhagavatam class, we stick to the main theme of the purport that Prabhupada addresses there. Otherwise, sometimes we may read a shloka and purport and speak something else altogether different. So here in the translation, there are two main things. One is... Everything is awarded by the Lord to the living being. That is one thing highlighted here. And then the second thing it is said that every living entity is unborn. Even he doesn't get annihilated after the body is annihilated. Same thing Prabhupada elaborates in the purport very nicely. He says, the living entity is unborn and eternal and as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 2:30. The living entity is not exhausted even though the material elementary body is vanquished. As long as the living entity is in the material existence, actions performed by him are rewarded in the next life or even in the present life. Similarly, in his spiritual life also, actions are rewarded by the Lord by five kinds of liberation. Even the impersonalist cannot achieve the desired merging into the existence of the Supreme without being favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.11 that the Lord awards similar results as one desires in one's present life. Ye tama prapadyante. The living entities are given freedom to make their choice and the Lord awards them accordingly. It is a duty of everyone, therefore, to worship devoutly only the personality of Godhead to achieve his desired goal. Yeah. In the Isha Upanishad, it is said, there's a verse which says, Saparyaga chukramakayama vranam asna viram shuddham apapa vidham kavir manishi paribhu swayambhu Yatha tathyatorthan vidadachashvati vyasamabhyaha. So in this verse, the last line, it explains Swayambhu. Swayambhu means the Lord who is self-sufficient and omnipotent. And one who is complete in himself. And it says, such a Lord is rewarding all living entities according to their desires. Neither it is said. Including the impersonalists who beg for moksha. Even for getting moksha or liberation, one has to beg from the Lord. So Prabhupada says the begging business of the living entity continues even up to the point of liberation. Prabhupada says. So the living entity is the beggar, Lord is the awarder. And that is compulsory. Why? So Prabhupada gives a very nice example there. Even a lawyer in this world, or a high court judge, he may be occupying a very big position, but that position is awarded to him by the government. He doesn't become automatically a high court judge. Yes, it is true that he needs a good qualification to become a high court judge. But even after having a good qualification, we have to be posted there as a high court judge. Similarly, somebody may endeavor and try to become qualified for moksha, and then Lord has to award him moksha. Otherwise, he cannot get moksha. In this way, Prabhupada highlighted this point even in his conversations several times. Often you will find even common people who don't so much talk about God, even they talk about good luck, bad luck and all. Isn't it? People would say, oh, good luck today. You know, I got this job done. Huh? Oh, bad luck today. I lost this or something. So what is this good luck, bad luck? If you carefully see, most people talking about this luck, they never talk about God. Because they don't know, behind the luck, there is an avoider of luck. Good luck and bad luck. Prabhupada was once in a building. He was telling the owner of the building, you see, you are talking about good luck and bad luck, but why don't you try to find out the avoider of the luck? So that fellow said, why should I worry? You know, I'm more concerned about the luck that I get. Good luck. And then Prabhupada was telling him, see, in your building, there are also rats living. So they are given a rat's body to stay in this building. There are also cockroaches. Yeah, there are also ants. Yeah, there are different creatures like this. And there is also a watchman outside your door. And then in the same building, you are also living. Now amongst all these different creatures, who is the greatest enjoyer in this? Yourself. Because you are the owner of this building. And one living entity is posted as a watchman, one living entity is posted as a rat, is sitting in the body of a rat, one is sitting in the body of a cockroach, one is sitting in the body of an ant, and they all get their food also, little. Rats hide in the hole and take some crumb of bread sometimes, and ants also get their sugar cube or something. Everyone gets little food. But everyone is in a different position and differently situated. How? Because the awarder is present, the Supreme Lord, who has awarded them different bodies. Yeah, you or I didn't award them bodies. Lord has awarded them bodies. In the same manner, when you are working in a company, Prabhupada gave him the example. You are working in a company. Somebody is given promotion, correct? Somebody is given demotion. Somebody is fired from the job. So who is doing this? See, this is a very practical example, especially in recession times. People will understand this. So many people are fired from the jobs. Are they fired automatically? Somebody is firing them. Somebody is promoting them. Somebody is demoting them. Somebody is sending them abroad. So in the same manner, behind all the luck, good luck or bad luck, there is somebody awarding it. We may say that I deserved it or I didn't deserve it. But even if we deserve it, unless the Lord sanctions, we cannot get what we deserve also. He has to sanction it. So, the main point here is, there are many living entities who are beggars, but they don't know what to beg from the Lord. And what position to beg. Often, we find in this world, every living entity hankers for a particular position and identity. Like there are so many companies which award us some post or position. When I join a company, they give a post, GET, Graduate Engineering Training. So when I saw the appointment order first time, oh, it was like thrilling. Oh, somebody has sent me an appointment order in my name. My name is printed outside the cover. And they have said that this is your job and these are the pays. These are the perks. These are the, you know, PF benefits and all that. Practically 5-6 pages. You know, printed. And they have awarded me a designation. Then when I go to the office, then they give me a cabin. They give me a computer and they give me a sitting place. And I salute them and thank them for awarding that position for me. Because when a position is awarded to the living entity, he becomes very satisfied in that position, at least for some period of time. Till he hankers for the next position, next higher position. Yeah. And generally, we find, like Prabhupada says, that a dog sometimes goes from door to door for some food or something. Sometimes he is driven away from a certain door. No food, get out. He is driven away. Similarly, The living entities are also begging for some position from people, going from door to door. Prabhupada writes in one of his purports, carrying a certificate in their mouth. Sir, please give me some position. Which is that verse he's writing there? Shvabidvarahoshtrakarehi, in that he writes. So, the living entity wants to be validated as someone holding a position by someone. Okay, you are recognizing me that I am a manager. Or you are recognizing me that I am a shop superintendent. You are validating me, I am a works manager. You are validating me, I am a CEO of a company. You are validating me as the chief minister or prime minister, president. Somebody is validating us. So we are looking for some position. Why? Because every position brings forth some privileges and benefits. That is another thing. So we get privilege and benefits, which we accept and enjoy. And we also become respectable in that position by a certain amount of living entities. Like, you know, we get some influence over other living entities. That's what brings the joy. Control over other living entities. So, having accepted the position, one feels very joyful, like a frog in the well. You know, all he knows is a small well. Similarly, the living entity also sometimes doesn't know what to beg from the Lord. He begs for some petty positions in this material world. Small positions and some material goods. The word goods is used in Ishopanishad. The living being begs for some goods from the Lord. And Lord is a supplier of the goods. And as one progresses, one may aspire for heaven or one may aspire for acquiring some siddhis to have an influence over a large number of people, large number of living entities. And this begging business goes on up to the point of begging for liberation from this world and merging into the Brahman, where one thinks, I want to become God now, so that all living entities will be under my influence. So, Indra also in his prayer, he said, my dear Lord, I am such a great fool. There are so many people in this world who try to become leaders and master of leaders. At last they become frustrated and declare to the other living entities that I am God. He said that. Similarly, the greatest aspiration of a conditioned soul is to become God, which is called as the last snare of Maya. Why the living entity wants to become Brahman, merge in Brahman, become one with God? Because that's the highest position that one can achieve. But Prabhupada used to often say, you are trying to become God by your meditation. Why should Krishna encourage your competition? Because he is God. He doesn't want any competitor. He will keep you here only. Why will he take you there? This is one way of saying how foolish it is to make an effort to become God. So, he's already God, Krishna. Why should he encourage competition with you? So, he'll keep you birth after birth in the material world, he says. But even if one goes to Brahman and merges, it's only an imagination. To become God is an imagination. It's a myth, because God is always God only. So, he explains the nature of God is that he doesn't become God by any meditation or by endeavor. When he is sleeping on the lap of Mother Yashoda, Krishna is God. Why? Because when Putana comes and picks him up and puts him on her lap and tries to breastfeed him, poison, Krishna kills her simply by pressing his lips. He doesn't have to use any weapon to kill her. He was God, so he could do it. Similarly, Prabhupada says Krishna never went for any weightlifting practice in order to lift the Govardhan hill. He very easily, naturally lifted it. And Krishna is free to do everything. He is completely uncontrolled. As soon as one is controlled, you can know that he is not God. That's the method of understanding who is God and who is not. As soon as somebody is controlled by something, then they are not God. So, Prabhupada says God is not only uncontrolled, he is omnipotent, he is omniscient, he is omnipresent, and the living entity is very tiny, insignificant, and he is a beggar from the Lord. For small positions and or big positions or ultimate position, living entity is always in the begging position. So, and Lord is the supplier of the goods. That verse, what is that? Nityo nityana chetanas chetanana yeko bahuna yo vidadhati kaman. See, this is an Upanishadic verse. Why we should quote from Upanishad? Because if you tell from Puranas, people will not believe you. You tell from the Upanishad, why the Upanishads clearly say, Yeko Bahunam. The Supreme Lord is one, and the other living entities are many. Why that Yekaha is distinguished from Bahu, or many? Which means we are plural subordinates, and Lord is singular Supreme. Clearly distinguished, even in the Upanishads. And then it says, Nityaha, you are Nitya, Lord is also Nitya. So somebody may say, oh, Lord is Nitya, I am also Nitya. Lord is Chetana, I am also Chetan. But Lord is Yeka and we are Bahuna. Why? Although He is cognizant and He is eternal, yet He is supreme because He is a supplier. Yo Vidadati Kama, it is said. Chetana Chetananam, Yeko Bahunam, Yo Vidadati Kama. He is a supplier of the goods for all the living entities. From the beginning of creation, He has been supplying grains, rains, fruits, cereals, sunlight, moonlight, water, air, and all the ores, and all the minerals. He is supplying everything. So He is a supplier. And the living entity is a person who takes these supplies and enjoys them, forgetting the Lord. In this way, Prabhupada explains, a living entity can never be God. Why? Sometimes, some of those who argue with Prabhupada would say, once Swamiji, we do meditation and we become purified, we'll become God. Till that point of time, we have to beg. So Prabhupada would say, no, God never becomes God by meditating or working harder. So Prabhupada quoted one beautiful verse. He said, Tivrena tapasa means by great austerity. A living entity attains a great position. But Krishna doesn't perform austerity to attain any great position. You will see that. Like for killing all the demons, Agasur, Bakasur, Putana and all of them, Krishna never did any tapasya at all. As a child, He killed all of them, He says. In Mother Yashoda's lap, Krishna is God. In the Kurukshetra Yuddha Bhumi, Krishna is God. When Krishna is dancing with the gopis, Krishna is God. Krishna is God at all times. And He doesn't become God by any process of yoga or meditation or any regular practice or something like that. So, he is saying here how the living entities are not only awarded the material benedictions, even the spiritual benedictions like the muktis, salokya, sarashti, sarupya, all those things, samipya, all those things. Even those muktis are awarded by the Lord only. It's the duty of everyone, therefore, to worship devoutly only the personality of Godhead to achieve His desired goal. The impersonalist, instead of speculating or meditating, can directly execute the routine devotional service of the Lord and thus easily obtain the desired goal. Yeah. So Prabhupada is recommending even an impersonalist. What is the need of speculating and meditating about the Lord? You just surrender to the Lord and practice devotional service. You will attain what you want, including your moksha. What is that? Moksha kama udaradi. Tivreda bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. So even if you are a moksha kami, it's better for you to become a devotee of the Lord. Otherwise, what will happen? Somebody may say, no, why should I become a devotee? I won't. Then they have to touch the nose like this. See, which is easy? Touching the nose like this is easy? Or touching the nose like this? So going around, it's a strenuous process. It takes many lifetimes, after which one comes to Vasudeva Sarvamiti. That conclusion. One becomes a rare soul or a good soul after many lifetimes, but that takes many, many lifetimes. Bahunam Janmanamante, it is said. It takes many, many lifetimes of speculation. But the problem is what? The speculators have to learn it a hard way. They won't learn it in a straightforward manner. Even Brahma's prayers, Brahma says a very beautiful verse. Atapite deva padambuja dvaya ప్రసాదలేశానుగృహీతయేవ హి జానాతి తత్వం భగవన్ మహిమ్నో నచాన్యయే కోపి చిరం విచిన్వన్. శ్రేయశ్రుతిం భక్తిముదస్యతే విభో క్లిష్యంతి యే కేవల బోధలబ్ధయే తేషామసౌ క్లేశలయేవ శిష్యతే నాన్యత్యతా స్థూల తుషావగాతిన. సో దిస్ టూ వర్సెస్ ఆర్ సో మచ్ గ్లోరిఫైడ్ బై వైష్ణవాస్. యూ విల్ సీ ఇన్ ఎనీ సంప్రదాయ అండ్ దే స్పీక్ ఆన్ భాగవతం, దిస్ వర్సెస్ ఆర్ ఆల్వేస్ స్పోకన్ బై వైష్ణవాస్. వెరీ ఫేమస్ వర్సెస్ ఫ్రమ్ భాగవతం, వెరీ గ్లోరిఫైడ్. వాట్ బ్రహ్మ సెడ్, అథ అపి అథాపి తే దేవ పదాంబుజ ద్వయ. మై డియర్ కృష్ణ, యు ఆర్ టూ లోటస్ ఫీట్. వన్ టేక్స్ షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్, వన్ టేక్స్ తులసి అండ్ మిక్సెస్ ఇట్ విత్ లిటిల్ శాండిల్వుడ్ పల్ప్ అండ్ అప్లైస్ ఇట్ ఆన్ కృష్ణస్ లోటస్ ఫీట్. బై దాట్ ఆల్ వన్స్ డౌట్స్ ఇన్ ద మైండ్ విల్ బి క్లియర్డ్ ఆఫ్ అండ్ వన్ కెన్ గెట్ అ విజన్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ, కృష్ణస్ బ్యూటిఫుల్ ఫార్మ్ అండ్ కృష్ణస్ క్వాలిటీస్ అండ్ కృష్ణస్ యాక్టివిటీస్. అండ్ సచ్ అ పర్సన్ అవేకన్స్ loving devotional service to the Lord in the heart. Very easily one attains the Lord by that kind of service. Atapite deva padambuja dvaya prasada lesha. One gets the favor of the Supreme Lord. This is one thing that everyone should pray for, aspire for, hanker for, favor of the Supreme Lord. Just like Srila Prabhupada was traveling in the Jaladuta. You know, the sea was so stormy, suddenly Prabhupada felt some indigestion and seasickness, fever, headache, bitterness in the tongue, and suddenly he got two heart attacks successively, and Prabhupada thought he will not survive. And then the next day morning when Prabhupada got up, he felt a little better. But then he was a bit fearful also in the heart. Will he be able to make it up to America? And then the Lord came in a vision. Krishna came and gave a vision of all his avatars. Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narsingha, Vamana, all those different avatars appeared in a vision. And Prabhupada saw Krishna with his own hand pulling a boat. And Krishna spoke to Prabhupada and said, "Do not worry, I am with you. I will row your boat and I will take you to America. And have full confidence. And you will attain all success. Go ahead. Don't get discouraged." Like that Krishna gave assurance. Yeah. And that gave a lot of confidence to Prabhupada. And the journey continued. In fact, the Captain Pandya later on said, "Atlantic has never been so calm in his entire career of being a captain in all those years." The Atlantic became completely calmed. Is it not a magic? A roaring ocean with high tides becomes completely calmed. How? If Krishna wants, you can do anything. Simply by your movement of his eye, he can completely make all the middle world manifestations change in whatever way he wants them to change. And Prabhupada said, he got healthy. And Prabhupada says that if there was further storm and tide, I would not have survived if I got a third heart attack. He says. So he reached, but when he was reaching Boston Harbor, you will see. We have to learn from Prabhupada how an acharya exemplifies the standard of depending on the Lord and not resorting to speculation and speculative meditations. You see, when Prabhupada was reaching the harbor, he was, even before that, when he left India, he went to Mayapur to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's Samadhi to pray the day before leaving for America. Why did he go there? He went there very simple. The reason is, it was his guru who gave him the order that he should go to America and preach. So he wanted to go and tell his guru that I am going to begin to fulfill your instruction. Also he went to meet Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati because The knowledge comes in a descending process. From Krishna to Brahma, Brahma to Narada, Vyasa, it's coming down. So, you only have given me the knowledge which I am going to deliver there. It is not my own knowledge. And also I request you not to leave me behind alone. But you always accompany me in my heart. Wherever I go, may your blessings accompany me. May your good wishes accompany me. And may the wonderful divine knowledge that you gave me accompany me. So that when I go to America, I will be able to give it to the people. Also, you will find in his prayer, when he met Bhaksan Saraswati, when he was praying to Bhaksan Saraswati, he says that, oh, what can I say about Bhaksan Saraswati? He is a very intimate associate of Lord Gauranga, Mahaprabhu. And he is also a very great Mahatma, great spiritual master of the whole world. And he has a desire to deliver this holy name to people all over the world. And who am I? I am a beggar. I am unqualified. I am unfortunate. I am like a destitute. He says, I have no qualification to deliver this holy name and this holy message that my spiritual master has given. But still, this great Vaishnava's desire should be fulfilled. And then he says, when I go to America and deliver this knowledge to the suffering souls of America, then in all the land, in all the rivers, in all the oceans, in all the places, the holy name will be ringing around. By all the living entities will sing the holy name. And all living entities will become free from all misery and they will become joyful. So, let me fulfill that Vaishnava's desire, he says. So, to fulfill his desire, I am going. Otherwise, I don't think I myself can do anything. He says like that. And then he is praying to Krishna. He is telling, oh, my dear Krishna, you are the greatest of all. You have the greatest intelligence. You even are so smart that you can understand the desires of the living entities even before they can recognize their own desires. And living entities, even before we recognize our heart, Krishna can know what's going on in our heart. You are so intelligent. And it seems that you want to do something through me. In fact, all living entities are completely under the clutches of Maya by your will. Because Krishna has kept them in Maya Shakti. We are all Maya Adish. Krishna is Maya Atit. You are above Maya. So if you want to release the clutches of Maya and let the living entities be free, you can do that if you want. And that you can do by injecting the holy name in their ears and the holy message of Bhagavata in their hearts, and that can transform them. As far as I am concerned, who am I? He said, I am an old man from India. When I am coming to America, I am a lonely man. And my body is also very sickly. And I speak a different language. And I am dressed up in a Vaishnava dress attire which no one can recognize in America. Isn't it? And I have no money. I am a penniless beggar. Entering into America, who is going to entertain a person like me in a busy country like America? And at the same time, besides my disqualifications, the place where I am going to preach to, that is a country which is occupied by millions, which is floating in billions of dollars, and they are running here and there, busily making more and more money. They are completely materialistic. They are cow flesh eaters and they have no inclination for hearing the message of God. So, how are they going to pay audience to this message? So, Prabhupada is praying that I don't think I'll be able to do anything on my own. But then he says that if you want, then this knowledge can become understandable to them by your desire. And you may do that. In this way, we find Prabhupada is glorifying the greatness of Krishna. There is a beautiful verse in Bhagavad Gita. Kavim Puranam Anushasitaram Anoraniyam Samanusmaredya Sarvasya Dhataram Achintya Rupam Aditya Varnam Tamasaparastat. So he says, the Lord is Kavi. We should always think in our heart, Oh Lord, you are the most wise. I am the most foolish. Actually, to the degree we admit within our own heart that we are foolish, to that degree the Lord will flood our heart with wisdom, with knowledge. A devotee always should think, I am a Adama. And the Vaishnavas are Adama Janara Bandhu. Shri Guru Karuna Sindhu, Adama Janara Bandhu. I am Adama Jan. We often think, oh, Jagai Madai, they are Adama Jan. What about me? I am a Punyavan. We tend to think like that. What kind of Punya? What kind of Punya we have done? So, every individual devotee has to analyze one's own life, how our forefathers have lived, and how is our life. If you see, there is only a degeneration, there is no progress in the lineage of even our family, if you see like that. So when one understands, I am Adama Jan, I am a fallen soul, like Prabhupada is praying, Kavim Puranam, means, oh Lord, you are the most ancient, which means you know all the happenings of all the universe for all the time. Kavim Puranam, Anushasitaram, you are the supreme controller. And then Anoraniyamsam, you are present within every atom. Anusmaredya, this is the way one should meditate on the Supreme Lord. Sarvasya Dhataram, you are the one holding all the planets in orbit. Sun, moon, stars, everything is moving on in this world by your control. As Krishna says, you know, Yat Aditya Gama Vishya Bhutani Dharayami. I am the one holding them. And Sarvasya Dhataram, Achintya Rupam. We have an inconceivable form, spiritual form, because of which, although you are seeing me, I cannot see you. You are watching me every moment with unblinking eyes. But my eyes are blunt, simply made of flesh and blood and water. With these material eyes, I cannot see you seeing me. So, you are Achintya Rupam. You have a Rupam, but that Rupam is Achintya, inconceivable. Inconceivable form. Just like the Upanishads say, Apano Padu Jabano Grahita Pashyati Achakshur Shunoti Akarunaha. It is said, Apani Padu Jabani Grahita. The Lord doesn't have hands and legs like we have ordinary hands and legs made of flesh and bones. We are called embodied. But Lord is called Akaya. Akaya means he is not embodied. Embodied means what? The soul trapped in a body. The Lord is not like soul trapped in a body. The Lord's body and soul are same. He is Satchidananda Vigraha. His whole body is made up of spiritual substance only. There is no matter in his body. So, Apano Pado Javano Grihita Pashyanti Achakshur. It appears that you cannot see the Lord anywhere if you look around. But he is present in every atom. Like Kunti Maharani said, he is very close to you near the heart and he is also far away. But yet we cannot see him, but he can see us always. So, Sarvasya Dataram Achintya Rupam Aditya Varanam Tamasaprasat. He exists beyond darkness of this material world. And his body is glowing like sunshine. So in this way, Krishna is described. And when we honestly accept God's position as great, then it is very easy for us to surrender. When you accept his greatness. But when one tends to think, maybe the soul is God, maybe the soul is conditioned now, but when I become purified, I will merge into God and then I will be God. These kind of speculative philosophies have created so much skepticism and doubts in the minds of conditioned souls. Because of which they cannot honestly surrender to God. Because they think, once I become liberated, I'll become equal to God. Why should I surrender to him? They think like that. But Prabhupada's question is, if you are God, then why should you beg goods from the Lord? Even up to the point of merging in the Brahman. So you are always a beggar. You are an eternal beggar. And Lord is an eternal provider. That is Prabhupada's purport. You will read in that Ishopanishad. So that is why Brahmaji also said, the speculators, he said, Shreya Shrutim Bhakti Mudasyate Vibho, having given up Bhakti path, what they do? క్లిశ్యంతి ఏ కేవల బోధ లబ్ధయే. దే అక్సెప్ట్ అ వెరీ డిఫికల్ట్ పాత్ దట్ ఈస్ ఇన్ఫెస్టెడ్ విత్ థాంట్స్ థాంట్స్ అండ్ పెబుల్స్. దే గో త్రూ ఎ వెరీ డిఫికల్ట్ పాత్ దిస్ ఇంపర్సన్లెస్ అండ్ దే స్ట్రగల్ అ లాట్ ట్రైంగ్ టు మెడిటేట్ ఆన్ గాడ్, నాట్ ఆన్ గాడ్, ఆన్ దెమ్సెల్వ్స్, థింకింగ్ దెమ్సెల్వ్స్ టు బి గాడ్. తేషాం అసౌ క్లేశాలు ఏవశిష్యతే. యునో వాట్ దే గెట్ అట్ ద ఎండ్ ఆఫ్ దర్ హార్డ్ లేబర్ ఆఫ్ మెడిటేషన్? ఆల్ ది గెట్ ఇస్ వాట్ దే సేవ్ ఇస్ ఓన్లీ ద సఫరింగ్స్ దే హ్యావ్ ఎండ్యూర్డ్. దట్స్ ఆల్. ఇట్స్ లైక్ టేక్ ఎ ఎంప్టీ హస్క్ అండ్ యూ కీప్ బీటింగ్ ఇట్. సీ దిస్ ఎంప్టీ హస్క్ బీటింగ్, ఐ వాస్ ఎర్లియర్ థింకింగ్ దట్ ఇట్ ఇస్ అ సింప్లీ యూస్లెస్ ఎండ్యూవర్, బట్ లేటర్ ఆన్ ఐ రెడ్ ద పర్పోర్ట్. ఇట్ సేస్ దిస్ బీటింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద ఎంప్టీ హస్క్ ఇస్ ఈక్వివలెంట్ టు యునో స్పెక్యులేటింగ్ విత్ ద మైండ్ బై స్ట్రెచింగ్ ద మైండ్. That's equivalent. Stretching the mind by speculating with the mind, trying to understand the truth by reading lot of books, more and more books. People read Puranas, Vedas, Upanishads, Vedanta, and they argue, they speculate, they discuss. Ultimately, they don't arrive at the end. They don't come to understand Krishna many a times with all that speculation and all that, you know. Three students studied in Kanchipuram once, very famous personalities. One was Vedanta Desika, you know, who became a great exponent in Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. Another one was Akshobhya Tirtha. He became a very great exponent in Madhva Sampradaya. Then there was also Shankararanya. Vidyaranya, Shankararanya, I think. He became a great exponent in Shankara Sampradaya later on. But these three, they were classmates. Can you imagine? They were there in Kanchipuram as friends. Of course, when there was a Mughal rule, they came together and made a plan how India can be protected. The culture of India can be protected. So they made Krishnadevaraya the king and all that. And also gave him good advice and everything. Later on, they all became exponents in these three different sampradayas. They became very great exponents. At one point of time, when everything was well settled, then Shankararanya and Akshobhya Tirtha, they had a debate for 13 days. 13 days they had a debate on whether absolute truth is personal or impersonal. On that debate, 13 days, morning, evening, all day long. At the end of the 13th day, all the discussion was put in writing, everything in multiple pages. It was sent to Kanchipuram for evaluation. And in the evaluation committee, there was also Vedanta Desika. Although he was one of the students, he was very exalted. So he sent a one-line reply saying that the fire of Akshobhya Tirtha has devoured the Shankararanya forest. He said, Aranya means forest. So in this way, there are very great acharyas who have established the Lord's supremacy. Like Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, or others in the line, in the similar line. So, such kind of vad vivad they used to do even in the Vedic times. But you will find when Shankaracharya wrote that Bhajagovindam in the Viveka Chudamani, the very first verse he said,
Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Govindam Bhaja. మూఢమతే సంప్రాప్తే సన్నిహితే కాలే నహి నహి రక్షతి టుక్రింకరణే.
ఇన్ వాట్ ఇస్ మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద టుక్రింకరణ మీన్స్ పాణిని గ్రామర్. ఆ టుక్రింకరణ, సో ఇఫ్ సంబడి టేక్స్ ద గ్రామాటికల్ outlook to Shastra by analyzing the Sanskrit verses of the scriptures and keeps arguing about what the truth is, and such speculation will lead one nowhere. One should not waste one's life simply speculating on the truth. Rather, one should learn the truth by Bhajagovindam, by singing the glories of Lord Govinda. That is why later on he says,
Bhagavad Gita Kinchidadhita Ganga Jalalava Kanika Pita సకృదాపి యేన మురారి సమార్చ క్రియతే యేన యమేన చర్చ Vaja Govindam, Vaja Govindam, Govindam Bhaja Mudhamate.
He's telling, every day you should do two things, he's saying.
Bhagavad Gita Kinchita.
Little Bhagavad Gita you read every day. Why? Because Bhagavad Gita is the word of Krishna, the Supreme Lord. Kim Padmanabha Mukhasya, Mukhapadmad Vinishritaha. Shankaracharya also said that. He said from the divine lips of Lord Krishna himself, Swayam, he says, this word has emanated Bhagavad Gita. So one should, instead of speculating wildly with a foolish and conditioned mind, one should give up such a speculation and study the word of God from Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, Kinchit Gita.
Ganga Jalalava Kanika Pita.
He's saying, little bit of Ganga water you drink every day. And study Bhagavad Gita every day, he says. Then if you do these two things, you know what will happen?
Sakradapi Yena Murari Samarcha.
When there is a discussion about Lord Murari going on, like Bhagavatam class is going on, even if you attended one Bhagavatam class, he's saying, Sakradapi means only once.
Yena Murari Samarcha Kriyate Yena Yamena Na Charcha.
You will never have to go to the abode of Yamaraj where you have to have some negotiation with Yamaraj on how much severe punishments can be awarded or not awarded to you. He's saying, you don't have to do charcha with Yamaraj. You won't see only Yamaraj, he's saying. So three things, he's saying. Studying Bhagavad Gita, accepting Ganges water and hearing the katha of the Lord. Murari Samarcha. Like that. So, this is a method for awakening the knowledge of God in our heart, not speculating with the brain.
Guru Charanam Bhuja Nirbhara Bhaktah Samsarada Chirad Bhava Muktah Sendriya Manasa Niyama Devam Drakshasi Nija Hridayastham Devam.
He's saying, Guru Charanam Bhuja. One should take shelter of the lotus feet of spiritual master and hear from him. Guru Charanam Bhuja Nirbhara Bhaktaha. Completely devote yourself to him. Be dedicated to him. One who is dedicated to the lotus feet of Guru and his service, he says, by doing that and samsara dacharad bhava muktaha, very quickly he will be he will be taken above the samsara sagar of this material world. How? His senses and mind will become controlled also. Sendriya manasa niyama devam. Control your senses, control your mind and engage them in absorption in the meditation on the Lord's form. Drakshasi nija hridayastam devam. In the core of your heart you will see Krishna very soon, he says. Very simple. Surrender to Guru. Obey his instructions. Control your mind and senses. And whatever energies you have, direct them in devotional service to the Supreme Lord. That's all. Then you will see him in your heart. It's only a short matter of time. You will see. It won't take very long time. So, don't waste your time in useless speculation. Running here, running there, reading this, reading that. Speculating and doubting always. See, the one of the characteristics of a speculator is they always doubt. There was, His Holiness Raghunath Maharaj was telling us once, you know, in America, he met some students who wanted Raghunath Swami to come and give a program in the college. And Maharaj said, I'm very happy to come, I'm ready to come. So arrange the program, I will come. But they said, sir, you have to take a permission from the head of the religious department. You have to meet him personally. And he's a very conservative man. Unless you take permission from him, you can't arrange the program. We have over 100 boys. We're interested. But you kindly meet him personally. So Maharaj went to meet him. So this man was a Christian gentleman. So he saw Raghunath Swami that these are Hare Krishna people. They want to teach something Hindu. So immediately he flatly refused. He said, no, 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 sorry, you cannot do such programs. We don't want. And Maharaj was trying to tell him what are all the benefits of this program and how students will immensely, you know, find it useful and all that. Then he said, okay, come to my home tomorrow. We'll discuss more. You have to convince me of whatever you want to teach. If I'm convinced, then I will allow you, he said. Okay, so next day he went. So when he battered the door was slightly open. Please may I come in? He asked. He said, yes, come in, come in, he said. So he went in. He saw the professor was, see, this is a professor and head of the Department of Religious Studies for the entire university. Thousands and thousands of students, 20,000-30,000 students, university, big university. And this professor at his home, he was lying on a table, completely nude. And he was, like sunbath people take, no? Tanning of the skin they do. So there was a hot bulb in the top, which was hitting his body. And this fellow was completely lying like this on the table. So he said, come in, come in. And Maharaj peeped in and said, Maharaj was afraid, can I come in now? Yes, come in, come in, no problem. Then Maharaj went, it's a bit distracting, Maharaj told him. Okay, you're getting distracted, okay, no problem. He took some clothes and put it on his body. See, although he is a religious professor, he has no culture. Because the first aspect of culture is to cover the body. Dogs and cats don't wear frocks or dress. They don't wear, but human beings wear. Because that's the beginning of culture. Because this fellow didn't even know step one in culture. And he's the head of the Department of Religious Studies. So anyway, he was telling, go ahead, tell me. And Maharaj was trying to tell him. And this professor said, do you know, I have read Bible and I am also a preacher of Bible. I have spoken so many lectures. I have gone to so many places and all that he was telling. And Maharaj said, oh, wonderful, that's very nice. Then he said, let us discuss about God. What is the nature of God? Let us discuss. And Maharaj began discussing. That fellow said, actually, I am an atheist. I have no faith in God. He said, really? You said you are a preacher of Bible? How can you be an atheist? He said, all these things I do as a profession, just for some entertainment. He said, I cannot believe in things which I cannot see. And then Maharaj understood, he's a first-class speculator. He's simply a mental speculator. And by the way, this professor's name was Professor Maybe. That was his name. That was his real name, actually. So for everything, maybe God is there. Maybe God is not there. Maybe God is a person. Maybe God is not a person. Maybe heaven and hell exist. Maybe heaven and hell are imagination. You know. Maybe there is life after death. Maybe there is no life after death. Maybe, you know, there is a reward and punishment system in this world. For everything, he was a maybe only. His life only was maybe. It was made up of maybe only. His name was Maybe. Professor Maybe. So, and Maharaj didn't leave him. Maharaj continued speaking. And then after he heard Maharaj for 1 or 2 hours, he said, okay, because you have so many things to say, you are not going to leave me. I better leave you. Okay. You can speak the lecture to students. No problem. So, what you understand from this, there are many people in this world whose hearts are filled with doubts. The main reason is they identify with their body and they think they are the center of the universe. They are the pivot of the universe. They think too high of themselves. Actually, who becomes a speculator? One who too much considers his brain to be very big. One who is filled with false ego. They think, that ahankar makes them think, I know. I can evaluate things. I can estimate things. I can analyze things. I can compare things. I can contrast things. I can judge things. And I can also put God under electron microscope and evaluate him and analyze him. They think like that. Such people only become speculators. That is why Brahma prays in that verse.
Pantastu koti shatavatsara sampragamyo vayo ratapi manaso muni pungavana.
See, muni pungava means muni himself is very big. Muni means powerful speculators are called as muni. They can speculate very powerfully. And Muni Punga means leaders of Munis. Many, many leaders of Munis, they speculate about Krishna with the speed of mind, which is faster than speed of light also. They speculate, and at last, after speculating, after studying all the Shastra, they are able to witness the glowing light of Krishna's toenails. That's all. Nothing beyond that. At the most, Krishna will allow them, okay, you fools, you are struggling so hard for so many years. I will allow you to see my tip of my toenail. See how beautifully my toenail is shining like a pearl. So Krishna gives them a glance of that. But what about those devotees of Krishna who had complete faith in Krishna? They didn't have any doubt in him. When Krishna told them in the middle of the forest, when fire was engulfing them from all the four directions, and all the covered boys were running to Krishna for shelter along with their cows and calves, Krishna told them, close your eyes. And they all immediately closed their eyes without even bothering whether fire will devour them. And immediately Krishna, he drank all the fire in the next moment. And then he told them, now you open your eyes. And the fire was gone. Similarly, Krishna extinguishes the material existence, the samsara sagar, for those devotees who put complete faith in him. He swallows the samsara sagar in one moment for the devotees who have childlike faith in him. So, either we should have childlike faith in Krishna. If you don't have that faith, the alternative is not speculation, but to take shelter of those who have that faith. So, we should either have that faith or take shelter of those who have that faith, and by that association, we will also gradually develop that type of faith in Krishna. Because the faith is preconditioned to knowledge. Krishna says that in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. If you want to know about me, first you surrender, then I will reveal to you who I am. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yenama upayantite. I will give you the buddhi within your heart. How do you can attain me? I will give you that buddhi. Krishna is also called as Dhyampati. Dhyampati means he is actually the master of all the buddhi. He supplies all buddhi to all living beings. He can give us forgetfulness also if he wants. Mattaha smritir jnanam apohanam cha. He can give smriti, he can give jnanam, he can give smaran, everything he can give. Forgetfulness also he can give. So, one has to surrender. Now somebody may say, why should I blindly surrender? First I will find out and then surrender. Actually, by hearing the scriptures, and by chanting the holy name, any sincere devotee will very easily come to understand that the scriptures are like a mother. They are most harmless. They are pure. And Krishna is also very pure. Like it is said, Krishna is, that words are used there, is apapa viddam. Apapa means he is completely sinless and pure. Apapa viddam. And he is shuddham. Shuddham means pure, like a sun. Sun absorbs urine and yet remains pure. It never gets contaminated. Krishna absorbed the sinful reactions of Kubja. And her heart became completely pure. Krishna absorbed the life air and the milk and the poison from the breast of Putana. And she became completely pure to be established in the position of a mother for Krishna in the spiritual world, nurse of Krishna. So Krishna is called Shuddham. So all impure things get purified, like Oma Pavitra Pavitrova Sarva Avastam Katopiva. In any circumstance, any situation, all the apapa will be eradicated when one chants Krishna's names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So he's saying, Shuddham apapa viddham. He's also saying Lord is prophylactic. You know what is prophylactic? Sometimes you find in the tonic bottles. Antiseptic and prophylactic. Antiseptic means that which can clean the impurity. Like we have the stinger. Like when you get some cut in the finger, you put stinger and you clean the place. That's called, you know, antiseptic. Antiseptic means it prevents the, impurity to enter inside. That is antiseptic. But prophylactic is one step higher. Prophylactic means sarva roga nivarani. That is prophylactic. Prophylactic means you take that tonic, your disease will be cured, And after having taken that tonic, the disease will never come back again to you. There is assurance given. That is called as prophylactic. So Krishna is that also. Which means, like when Prabhupada went to Slippery Rock State University in America, that was the first university he gave a program, Patla, Pennsylvania. So Prabhupada wrote a letter to Sumati Morarji saying that, I am here in Butler, Pennsylvania, which is 500 miles away from New York. But I am finding people are so simple and they are coming to church in large numbers here. Still there is, I find that America is materially very advanced. At the same time, they are spiritually inclined. They are not poor like Indians. They have a lot of money. But they are also spiritually inclined. Here I came to these churches. They told me to give some lecture. I gave. And Prabhupada said, they also told me to give lecture in church-driven schools and colleges. I gave lectures. But then the professors and clergymen, they became afraid that the students are surrounding me and they are not leaving me, asking many, many questions to me. So they were afraid that they may get converted to Hinduism. They had that fear, professors. So what they did, 50 minutes they gave lecture time for Prabhupada. Immediately after the lecture, they rang the bell and said, all students go to the next period. They send them all to the next period immediately. But Prabhupada said, they are afraid that I may convert them, but they are so foolish, they do not know there is only one supreme religion, which is Bhagavata Dharma, love of Krishna, which is the religion of even, Prabhupada said, even aborigines and cannibals, he said. From them up to the Paramahamsas, it's a common religion for one and all, love of God. And that religion you teach people, naturally anybody will be attracted if they have a little simple heart, and so they have some element of sincerity, they will immediately become attracted. Prabhupada wrote. So, in this way, even aborigines and cannibals, Kirata, Hunandra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, all those things can be people can be purified by the Bhagavata Dharma. So, this is actually the process of purifying our heart, surrendering to the Lord, not speculating like this professor, maybe. We will get nowhere. Samshayatma. Vinashyati. Doubting soul perishes. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. So, we surely have to accept knowledge in parampara. But once having come in parampara, then we should have faith in the great souls who are practicing. Because Krishna told Arjuna, Bhavo jnana tapasa, puta madbhavam agata. Many, many souls in the past have heard this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. They became purified by practicing it. And they attained my lotus feet. Don't think you are the first person to take some risk. You see, imagine if you are the first person who has to propagate Hare Krishna in the Western world, how much conviction you will have? Ask this question to yourself. Like Prabhupada went, now you are going to America, you have to wear dhoti kurta or sari, and you have to wear tilak, kantimala, and you have to propagate Krishna consciousness. If I were in Prabhupada's position, how much conviction I would have had? You all can ask this question. It's very difficult actually. Today we are wearing tilak, kantimala, everything. Why? There are various reasons for that. Like some Indians became fascinated by ISKCON because the Americans are also practicing ISKCON philosophy. So it's also a kind of fashion or fad. So nowadays wearing kantimala has become a fashion everywhere. You know that? The other day I was standing outside the stall, some two boys and two girls came in a bike and they were asking, can the stall be opened? Then he called the stall people, they came, they opened it. They asked, what do you want to buy? They said, we want to buy this, you know, kantimala. I said, do you know what is this kantimala? We don't sell it to anybody and everybody. For this, you have to follow four regulative principles. Do you know what are they? They said, we don't know. When I told them these four regulative principles, at the end of my fourth principle, I found them missing. They were absconding. All four were gone along with their bikes. Throw away, yeah? But people wear very stylishly nowadays. Kantimala. Why this became a style nowadays? Because when Hare Krishna was accepted by the Western people in India, many are accepting more fastly, more easily. Because there is also something called as pride of association. Like ISKCON has become a worldwide society. It is so big and so many millions of people now. So it's not very difficult for us to accept this philosophy with faith. But at that time, you can imagine how much faith Prabhupada must have had. He was lonely in America, alone, going to a place like New York and preaching there. So, we should have faith in Prabhupada. Prabhupada had such a faith that he has spread that great faith to so many living entities. So, One should faithfully hear from great souls like that if one wants to gain true knowledge. That's why he said, the impersonalist, instead of speculating or meditating, can directly execute the routine devotional service of the Lord and thus easily obtain the desired goal. The devotees, however, are naturally inclined to become associates of the Lord and not merge in the spiritual existence as conceived by the impersonalist. The devotees, therefore, following their constitutional instincts, achieve the desired goal of becoming servants, friends, fathers, mothers, and conjugal lovers of the Lord. The devotional service of the Lord involves 9 transcendental processes, such as hearing and chanting. And by performing such easy and natural devotional services, the devotees achieve the highest perfectional results, far, far superior to merging into the existence of Brahman. The devotees are therefore never advised to indulge in speculating upon the nature of the Supreme or artificially meditating on the void. So I was telling you how the jnanis are able to attain the shining light of Krishna's toenail. But what do the devotees attain? That is explained by Shukadeva Goswami in Bhagavatam. Itam satam brahma sukhanubhutya dasyam gatanam paradaivatena vayashritanam naradarakena sakam vijarukrata punna punjaha. Those devotees of Krishna who have done millions of punya, this is bhaktyonmukha punya, rising early in the morning, chanting the holy names, singing the Lord's glories, dancing, eating only prasad, drinking charanamrit, coming in front of the Lord and exposing themselves to his karunya kataksh, merciful glance, and circumambulating the Lord, offering bhoga to the Lord, bowing down to the Lord, studying the scriptures of the Lord, those who have done this activity for millions of lifetimes, they are called Krita Punya Punjaha. So we are also now in the queue of Krita Punya Punja now. We have joined the queue. It may take many, many lifetimes, or sometimes it's possible in one lifetime also. But by doing this, what happens? One becomes such a close associate of Krishna that they are playing in the pastures of Vrindavan with cows and calves, along with other covered boys, along with Krishna also, playing with them, playing and chasing after Krishna. Krishna chases them, climbing on Krishna's shoulders. They are playing like this, the covered boys. So they are not meditating on the toenail of Krishna's like a sunlight. They are actually dealing with Krishna in a very personal way, very intimately. So one can attain this position if one follows in the footsteps of Mahatma's great devotees, pure devotees. One can attain that position. So that type of faith should come, that such great devotees. Actually, we should think in our mind like this. If somebody has a great respect for Sanskrit, you should think, oh, great learned scholars like Gopi Paranandana Prabhu. He is a Sanskrit teacher and he is a Sanskrit editor. Or Hridayananda Maharaj. They are Sanskrit editors and they have written commentaries, they have written translations of hundreds of books. And if they are taking shelter of Krishna and they have love and faith in Prabhupada, who am I, a tiny tot? You have to ask like that. If you have great faith in science, you think that scientists are more intelligent than Prabhupada also. If somebody thinks like that, then you should ask great scientists like Sadaputta Prabhu or Michael Cremo. Such people have taken shelter. Great Nobel laureates. They are glorifying Prabhupada as a great acharya. They are accepting the truth given by Prabhupada. So am I bigger than the scientists? So we should always compare ourselves with the great souls who have taken shelter of Prabhupada. That's why Prabhupada's name is Prabhupada. Prabhupada. In whose lotus feet great souls come to take shelter. Great Hamsas come to take shelter of him. Great Paramahamsas. Even the current great acharyas in ISKCON, they are all like Hamsas. Rajahams. They are like Paramahams. They are called. Paramahamsa means they are like a great swan. A swan is pure and clean and whitish. It doesn't dwell in contaminated places. It always lives in clean atmosphere. Similarly, the Paramahamsas, their subject matter for contemplation and discussion and distribution is Krishna Katha only. So And such great souls, they all are taking shelter in Prabhupada's lotus feet. So like that we should develop faith. One should not, however, mistakenly think that after the annihilation of this present body, there is no body by which one can associate with the Lord face to face. The living entity is unborn, just like the Kotovsky professor. Prabhupada asked in Russia, do you know what will happen to you after death? The professor said, after death I'll be finished, he said. Prabhupada said, you are the head of the department of religious studies there also. He was a very big professor. And you don't know about the soul. It was such a big surprise to Prabhupada. He doesn't know about the soul. Wherever Prabhupada traveled, he told everyone. I met one professor in Russia named Kotovsky. This fellow doesn't know about the soul. He's saying after death everything will be finished. Just see. And he's teaching. What kind of professor is he? Are you a teacher or a cheater? Prabhupada would ask like that. The living entity is unborn. It is not that he is manifest with the creation of the material body. On the other hand, it is true that the material body develops only by the desire of the living entity. The evolution of the material body is due to the desires of the living being. You see, the material body that we all are possessing is a precipitate of our subtle body. The subtle body is called as body of desires. The subtle body of desires, it precipitates out as the gross body. Or we can say, the gross body is a gross expression of our desires. It's a gross expression of our desires. Like Prabhupada says, if somebody has a beautiful body, that living entity must have wanted to have a good-looking body, Prabhupada says. That's why according to his Punya Karma, he is given a beautiful body. Some living entity wanted to be rich. So they are born as rich people. Yeah. You see, if we continue to maintain material desires in our heart, we are likely to land up in the Svargaloka instead of going to Goloka. Because of material desires. Because the desires only act as a vehicle to carry us to the next body. And they also award a body where we can fulfill and give shape to those desires. And then we may return back to the earth after the punya is over and all that. Yeah. According to the desires of the living being, material body develops. So, from the spirit soul, the material body comes into existence, generated from the living force. Since the living being is eternal, he exists just like the air within the body. Yeah. There is a verse in Bhagavad Gita. Avyaktadini bhutani vyakta madhyani bharata avyakta nidhananyeva tatraka paridevana. Krishna is asking, tatraka paridevana. What is the need of lamentation, Arjuna? Why? This body, before birth, was it having any shape or form, this material body? In the mother's womb, it's like an apple or a plum with 9 holes. That's the original, the body in the beginning. And after this body is dead, what happens to this body? You see, probably I was telling in one of the classes before, if you remember, as soon as a child is born, the mother puts a rubber stamp, correct? What she puts? My child, isn't it? And then the child grows up big, and then the child comes to a stage where he becomes adolescent and he gets married to your wife, and wife says, I cannot live with your mother. This mother-in-law is a headache. Come, let's go to London. Let us take a job there. So she puts the husband in the pocket and takes him to another place. And then she puts a rubber stamp. My husband. Like that. New rubber stamp has come now. Yeah. After that, the fellow becomes recruited in a big company, and the company pays him a big job, big salary. Fat salary means fat work also. They are not going to give you a fat salary with a small work. And then the company practically purchases him by giving him a big salary. Company says, you better live here and go home occasionally. We'll provide you all facilities. You have to own the company like that. And then the company rubs off the rubber stamp and puts, my employee. They put another rubber stamp. In this way, people keep changing rubber stamp. At last, what happens when the person gets old? Sometimes a person becomes a sipai or a soldier in an army. They say, our soldier, Indian soldier or a Pakistani soldier, they put a rubber stamp also. In America, the African slaves used to be sold. Somebody may purchase a slave and put a stamp that is my servant or my slave, like that. So many people in this world claim that our body belongs to them. But what do you think we think? We think our body belongs to me only. Every day we look at our body in the mirror and say, I am a beautiful person. You know, it's my body. While they claim our body to be theirs, we claim our body to be ours. But at the time of death, what happens? They feed this body into the fire. And the fire says, my body. Yeah. And the body is burnt to ashes. Yeah. So, in Bhagavatam, Narada Muni is asking this question. Who is the actual proprietor of this body? He's asking. Is it the mother? Is it the father? Is it the wife? Is it the husband? Is it the child? Or is it the company owner? Is it the army of a company? Army of a country? Yeah? Is it the master? Whom does this body belong to? Or can we say the body belongs to the fire? Because it just turns into a pile of ashes. And then what happens further? The solids mix with the solids, the liquid mix with the liquid, gases mix with gases. All the panchamahabhut mixes with panchamahabhut. So the body belongs to the material nature. And the material nature is controlled by whom? Maya adhyakshena prakriti. Controlled by whom? Controlled by Krishna. So the body is ultimately owned by Krishna, to whom the material nature belongs. That means Krishna owns our body, so the body should be used for his service. But if we don't use for his service, so many people toss us like a football in this world, claiming our body to be theirs. But when we hand over the body to Krishna, all of them take about turn and go behind. You will see that. That is also said in Krishna book. When one becomes a very serious devotee, many times people like to keep distance from a very, very serious devotee, especially if they want to flourish in material life. Of course, if you want to become a serious devotee, you like to be with devotees. But if somebody wants to flourish in material life, what they do? When devotee comes, they keep them at a distance and say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and they tell them to go away. Yeah, because they know now this fellow has become owned by Krishna. So, this is the prayer of a devotee. Krishna, you are mine and I am yours. So, we become Krishna's, and then Krishna gives himself to the devotee. Like there is a Odia slogan. Recently one boy told me, it's a very beautiful verse. He said, Sabu tyagi be takupayibu. Takupayile sabupayibu. He said. It's a Odian slogan. You know what's the meaning? When you give yourself and your sarvasva to Krishna, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, manasa deho geho jokichu mor arpiletuva padi nanda kishor. Of course, making an altar in a home is also a sign of keeping God in the center. But we have to keep God, keep Krishna in our consciousness also. That's why Prabhupada called this moment as Krishna consciousness moment. We have to live our life keeping Krishna in the center. So he says, Sabu chadipe taku paibu. If you give everything, then you will get taku means Jagannath. You will get Lord Jagannath. In Orissa, taku means Jagannath. By giving everything to the Lord, you get Lord Jagannath. And when you get Lord Jagannath, you get Sabu Paibu. You get everything. He says. You have nothing lacking, because Krishna means, Krishna contains whole existence. Everything. So, that's why it is said this material body belongs to Krishna ultimately. It doesn't belong to anyone in this world. And then right now we have a form. Before the birth, it was simply a lump of flesh, slab of flesh. And after death, it's going to become either ashes or stool or something of a bird like an eagle or fox or anything like that. Like this Parsis, they put the body in silent tower, you know, which becomes eaten by the vultures and everything. And it turns into stool of animals and birds. The ultimate plight of this material body is horrible. Fortunately, we are not the material body. We are different from the material body. We are inside this material body, sitting like an operator. Just like sometimes you find this JCB, big hand, gigantic hand moving. It takes out a lot of sand and puts it. But behind the gigantic hand, there is a cabin. In the cabin, there is a driver sitting inside. So he is pressing some buttons and it's moving. Similarly, we are sitting in this body inside and we are functioning this body. But then, sometimes suddenly you press button, it doesn't move only. The whole thing stands down. Then you have to call the company. Similarly, we also find this body stops functioning. Somebody gets a paralytic attack. One hand, one leg, one side doesn't work only. Comes like this, isn't it? Yeah, they run here and there. Yeah. Sometimes you get a spondylitis. Oh, neck goes like this, yeah? Because material body is not controlled by us ultimately. It's controlled by whom? Krishna. He's the supreme controller. The body belongs to him. So, Prabhupada is saying that we should know that this material body is annihilated, but the soul is never annihilated. He moves from one body to another according to his desires that he's carrying in the mind. And then he's saying in the same manner, the sarupya, salokya, samipya, all these things are awarded also. The Lord is so kind that even if a devotee of the Lord cannot fulfill the complete course of devotion service unalloyed and uncontaminated by material association, he gives another chance in the next life by being awarded a birth in a family of a devotee or a rich man. So that without being engaged in the struggle for material existence, the devotee can finish the remaining purification of his existence and thus immediately after relinquishing the present body, go back home back to Godhead. Sometimes you find children coming from very rich families become very serious devotees and the parents are annoyed because they have so much of wealth, they want the son to continue doing the business and everything. I can show you so many boys who come from very big families. They have not even an iota of interest in material life. And the parents are wondering, how is it? If we have so much wealth, like Raghunath Das Goswami, his father had so much wealth, so many gold coins, but son had absolutely no interest. Why? Because Prabhupada says, Krishna gives a birth to a devotee in a rich family or in a Brahmana family so that they can practice devotion service without having to work hard for material existence. They don't have to work hard for earning livelihood. In this connection, detailed information is available in Bhagavat Sandarbha by Sri Jiva Goswami. Once achieving the spiritual existence, the devotee is eternally situated there, as already discussed in the previous verse. Kantraat Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktavinda ki. Thank you very much.